You can't commit fully. Why? Because they got a yoke on you. They got a chain in you where they're holding you back from full commitment. The devil knows what he's doing. He's legal. He's a legalist. When he's got a legal right, he knows it. But you break the legal rights by the words of your mouth. You overcome him by the words of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. God provides the blood. You got to speak the words. You got to say it. You said it to get in. You got to say it to get out. You've been looking at initiations your whole life. You went across the burning sands in college. The devil snared you right there. He got you. And you don't even know it. You saw Beyonce in that burning car, crazy in love. She was being initiated into the kingdom of Satan. She got in the thing when she got in that burning car. Went in as Beyonce, came out as Sasha Fierce. The devil got to initiate you some kind of way. He got to get you in because he don't want to let you go. So this thing is propagating worship for the Antichrist. Verse 13. And he doeth great wonder so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwells on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We're going into these holographs now, these things where they can project the images of people. They can put the image of a man on the side of a building now. They have conferences now in corporations where they project the man into the conference from Kansas City, and you're in LA, and the hologram will project the man like he's standing there just like I am right here. And you'll think the president of the corporation is there because the hologram makes him look like he's there in real time. That's the image of the beast. You got to worship that thing, man. You got to worship everything the devil's doing or else you'll be left out. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. And his number is 600, 666. Now you got enough sense to know that ain't nobody going to have a 666 stamped on it because that's too obvious. Everybody knows what that says. So you're not going to go for that. The three sixes are referring back to Adam. Created on the sixth day is the number of man. It's a man that is totally inundated with self. What's the primary thing that's going to bind people to the kingdom of the beast? It could be summed up in two words. You know what they are? Self-preservation. I got to eat. I got to have somewhere to live. I got to have gas for my car. I got to have a job. I got to have a way to live in this world. He's going to tie people down with that right there. You don't believe it's upon us? Let's look at this quick 2-minute video that shows you that the beast is here and he's here now and he's nobody to fool around with. This is just 2 minutes long. Take a quick look at this.
A company in Wisconsin offered employees microchips to replace ID badges. It's hosting a chip day party to implant the devices in the employees. And our guy Ron Mott is at the party. Hey, Ron, how is it?
Hey, hold on, Matt. Good morning to you both. You know, we all know people complain that their companies treat them like machines. Well, Three Square Market is sticking it to their folks today using these needles. Now, let me show you first what this microchip looks like. It is about the size of a grain of basmati rice. So Patrick here is the CIO. Andy is a licensed body piercer. So let it rip. We're going to see this now.
I got it.
I can't look.
No, you're doing fine.
I can't look. Needle is in. Got chip it. Is in.
There you go.
Not very much blood at all. Patrick, how'd that feel?
Better than get my wisdom teeth out.
Okay, and you're still conscious.
Yeah, I'm great.
Melissa got chipped yesterday, but you had to be talked into doing this. How long did it take you to say yes to this?
I was a little hesitant at first, but I had 7 days to think about it, and once I learned the facts, there was no question in my mind.
Okay, one last thing we want to show you over here. Hold on, Matt. Go ahead, Steve. They can buy their goodies here in the break room by just using their hand. Real quickly, he's going to get a Kit Kat bar. And it's paid for, $1.06, guys. So the question again, as we asked you last week, are you ready to be chipped, guys? Let's send it back to you.
I'm kind of I don't know that I would do it. Would you do it?
I don't, for the convenience of it, maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
Not for a Kit Kat bar.
Maybe for a Mercedes.
For a Honda. Certainly not a Kit Kat.
Thanks. Hey, let's go to Dylan. Dylan's got more. You've been asking folks about it.
We've asked on Twitter, would you be willing to have a microchip implanted? And not surprisingly, 93% said no. What's wrong with this? It's easy to keep around.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know what you do? You go by the Kit Kat machine and you shake someone's hand and put it next to them. Charge them.
That's right. You just bought me a Kit Kat.
See, everything's funny when it's not life or death. But, buddy, when you got to eat and everything that you need to sustain yourself on earth must be coming through these avenues, you'll take it. You'll take it. And that's what's going on. This thing is coming like a freight train. That company has its employees chipped already, and it's other countries like Sweden where the population is getting chipped just to ride public transportation. So, it's already on us, it's here. And I could be persuaded that a lot of this stuff would just go to biometrics. Not a physical chip, but your fingerprints and your iris. See, most people will draw back from implantation, but they'll tell you, well, no, we just read your fingerprints and your iris like they condition you do with your cell phone. You turn your cell phone with your thumbprint. Now, you know, the new iPhones, they can read your eyes. Oh, they can read your face even. They look at your face and they'll know it's you. Just look at the screen, it'll turn on because they see it can recognize you. All this stuff is preparation for a brave new frontier, the frontier governed by the Antichrist. I'm just giving you forewarning about what we're in. We're not going to be in this, we're in it. See, they said like 90-something percent wouldn't do it. We got another generation of people coming up that's not even conscious of what's going on. They're going to do whatever they're told to do. They're dumbing them down in school for a reason. You know, they're not even teaching cursive writing anymore in school. It's printing. You can't even sign your signature anymore. Just print your name. Because everything going to be, as far as signing stuff, is going to be electronically signed. You don't need to be writing in cursive. Just, you know, a computer generates your signature for you. You sign a document and your name is signed already. I don't write like that. Well, you know, that's been legal. That's legal commerce now. You can just sign it with a computer. They'll accept that. This thing here, man, is about to be a whole nother kind of world. So right now, your mind doesn't need to understand every nuance of the world. You need to get to God so you're not actually taken over by it. You got to have your mind free from it. You got to go home and individually determine for you how much of my mind is yoked and bound to this world. What do I think about every day? What's important to me? Have I been deceived by this place? You see how they blow up all this stuff about Trump and blacks and all this other stuff? Kneeling down the football game. Who would care about kneeling down the football game for the anthem being played? I personally stand for the national anthem, not because I'm some kind of an idolater of it. I stand because, hey, I know thousands of guys have been killed in combat, and I just honor their remembrance and their families because these guys have been killed like that. I was in the military. I understand what they've been through. You got guys right in the hospital with no arms, no legs, faces blown off. I stand for that reason. Now, they start saying a pledge of allegiance to a flag. I don't say that because now my mouth is incanting me. See, because the first word in the pledge of allegiance is what? I pledge allegiance. See, that's now it's personal. to the flag, and for the republic. See, that word right there is the one he gets you with. That republic is the rule of law. So that means you align yourself with every law of the land. And the laws of the land do not honor God when you legalize abortion and homosexual marriage. I can't pledge allegiance to that. See, it's logical to me. I listen to what they're telling me to say. Don't ever repeat anything without listening to what's being said. Because the devil's trying to get you to do what? Curse yourself and bind yourself with the words of your mouth. So he's always trying to get you to repeat or say something. If he can get you to say, I'll never be anything, he got you. But you're snared by what the Bible says? The words of your mouth. You better off just walking around with your mouth shut. Don't even shake your head, yeah or no to stuff. Just, hey, you know. What do you feel? I don't feel nothing. I don't have no opinions. I don't know nothing about nothing. I wasn't there. I didn't see nothing. And I wasn't no witness for nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. I wasn't there. See, that way you can't blame you for nothing because I don't know, man. Don't let your own words bind you. Don't give allegiance to any of these secular organizations. Don't join nothing. Because you, when you join anything, you become one with the thing you join, including another human being. We're defending the faith, but to defend the faith, we got to be separate from the world systems. You can't be in what you're fighting against. You got to be separate from it. Okay, so what's defending the faith means? Let's wrap it up here. Defending the faith is really defending faithfulness. Faithfulness is what we're really defending. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, the apostle says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, cow manure, that I may win Christ and be found where? In him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of what? Our ministry is one of reconciliation. Reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What do we preach? The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us in order for us to be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, what a swap off at the cross. He bore my penalty for me to be made righteous and acceptable to God, reconciling me to God in him only. See, I'm not reconciled to God in my own right. I'm reconciled to God in him. Meaning my mind has to be reconditioned and transformed to get into him. I can't be in the world. The Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. So how can I be in the world and joined to all this junk in the world and reconciled to God? I'm not. You don't want an imaginary salvation. You want to see the spirit world peel back and this thing becomes real for you. What is reconciliation according to Webster's? It's the restoration of friendly relations, reunion, fence mending. Like if you and your neighbor got a run in and you went over there over a cup of coffee and got the air cleared and was reconciled to your neighbor and you restored friendly relations. You want to be a friend of God.
Amen.
I've been reconciled to God. God has nothing against me. I'm his friend now, not his enemy. Because I obey him. I'm not fighting him. I'm not resisting him. I'm not rebelling against him. I've been reconciled. That's what you want. You don't want it to be theory. You don't want to be examining other people. I need to be reconciled. This thing is personal, man. The question is, where will you be the day after you die? Where will you be the day after you die? You died on Monday. Where are you at on Tuesday? Because wherever you are on Tuesday, you'll be there forever. Think about that now. 30, 40, 80 years here. An eternity spent in hell because I wasn't reconciled. I gotta die having been reconciled to God. This is not make-believe. The other major question, will you die knowing about Jesus Christ or will you die knowing him? I died knowing about him, but I didn't die knowing him because I wasn't in him. I wasn't reconciled. I knew about the Savior. I knew about the Bible. I knew about what he said. I knew about all this stuff I know about. I got data. I got information, but I don't know him. You know, you can know what somebody wrote and not know the person. You can read Shakespeare right now. Do you know Shakespeare? No. Think about what I'm saying. The Bible is an avenue to know Jesus, not to know about him. You don't need to know stories about Jesus. You need to know him. This is the most supernatural thing on earth. By the Holy Ghost, you can actually be introduced to him and get to know him. Jesus is real. Yes. You know, the further you go out in this, he can come see you. Yes. He can knock at your door tonight. You say, for real? But see, you know, he's a person that can walk through walls and stuff. You can wake up out of your bed, he'd be standing over your bed. If you reconcile, he won't scare you. But if you ain't reconciled, he'll scare the liver out of you. Because everything in you is going to be fearful of him because I know I'm not right. He's a living being. He was on earth. He died and got back up again. That's what's so scary about the people. He's a resurrected man. He was once dead and now he's walking around still. This is real, man. You begin to really seek the Lord and watch the veil peel back and the spirit will become real to you. That's why people don't do it because, man, I'm scared of that stuff he's talking about. If I begin to seek the Lord, you know what I mean? Well, you scared of yourself because you're a spirit. You peel back you're going to find yourself and you're nothing but a spirit. You might as well get in now and get to know him now because you're preparing yourself for your future. So it won't be a shock to you. He's a living entity that still got nail scars in his feet. Remember, he was resurrected from the dead. The same body, it was a regenerated resurrection body, still with nail scars. Still with all the piercings on his body will exist forever. As a testimony to the universe. You can't accuse them of nothing because all they're going to do is show you nail scarred hands. Hey man, you can't accuse me of nothing. Because the witness wasn't just for us, it was a witness to the angels.
Yes.
Remember, the first accuser of Jesus was the angels. Why should we worship him? Why? That's what the devil was walking around saying, trafficking amongst the angels, trying to get rebellion engaged. Now look how everybody's yelling, holy, holy, holy. He is worthy. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. See how the Bible's talking about how it changed up in heaven to a full extent where the angels have no doubt that no accusation could be made against him because he laid his life down to save his own creation. It's a witness not only to man, but a witness also to the angels. Everybody going to bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord, including Satan. To the glory of God the Father.
Yes, Lord.
You either bow willingly or you will be forced to your knees. And you will confess he's the Lord. Every Islamic person, every Buddhist, every Hindu, everybody gonna bow before him to acknowledge Jesus is Lord of all. I like, see, but you gotta be reconciled. You gotta be reconciled to like this. It's not about knowing data and doctrine and information. It's about knowing him. And not only knowing him, but liking him. You gotta like him. See, this liking can be deeper than loving. If I love him, I'll obey his commandments. But when I get to like him, I like being around him. I like everything he stands for. I like his ways. I like his righteousness. I like his holiness. I like his kingdom. I pray thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because I like everything about it. Last scripture we'll read and go home. Acts 17 verse 24. We'll leave it off right here. Acts 17 verse 24. He says this. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. And have made one of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So you need to disavow being black or white, because God made men into one blood. When you come under the blood of the Lamb, racial distinctions are eliminated.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, racism is in the earth, it's in the world. I know it's in the world, but it ain't in the church.
That's right.
Amen.
There's no black, no white, no male, no female, no bond, no Scythian, no distinctions made. He made Jew and Gentile one new man, the Bible says.
Come on.
So if you still got racism in you, you're a child of the devil.
That's right.
And you bought into the fact that the devil stirred up all this hoopla around us to make you feel some kind of a way. Let me say this about cops killing blacks. I got enough sense to know that some of these black guys was crazy and the cops shot them because they were crazy. I know that and you know that. Some of you black folk don't want to be around black folk because they'll take your stuff. I'm not stupid. A lot of these guys wouldn't comply and was acting crazy, and the cops shot them. I also know that it's some white racists that are crazy on the police force that will kill a black guy as soon as look at him. But guess what? That's their world, not mine.
Amen.
I'm not in it. That's the tumultuous mess of the devil that they're stirring up in. They're all in. I'm not going to blame all white people because of one lunatic white cop. Just like a white person shouldn't condemn every black person because of some crazy black person that raped your sister or something. Every man and woman has to be governed and judged individual, and as an individual according to their own character. That's the way it goes. That's when you're free from racial distinctions. Them guys ain't kneeling down at an NFL game because of any kind of disparities, injustice with the judicial system. They're kneeling down because they don't like Trump. And he says something about them. Those guys are multimillionaires. You got $10 billion on the NFL field every Sunday. You know these guys are paid? Matthew Stafford makes $3 million per game. You know how long a game lasts in the NFL? 1 hour. 15-minute quarters, four of them. He making $3 million. Now think about that. He's making $750,000 every 15 minutes. And you somewhere mad and trying to, are you crazy? You think that guy really care about you? If all the black players in the NFL really cared about the black situation with all that money, why don't y'all get out here in the community and help somebody then? Why don't you establish some educational institutions for the young black kids, especially the black males? You somewhere at a booty shaking joint making it rain. Throwing money up in the air for a stripper. And then want to kneel down on Sunday. I'm want to protest. Get your protest and butt up and do something, man. Just like folks in church. They always want to evaluate and try to judge something they don't know anything about, but won't do nothing about anything but talk. Shut your mouth and do something. This is a cotton picking shame, and I do mean cotton picking, slave level cotton picking. It's a game orchestrated by the devil, and you've got opinions and emotional responses to junk that the devil's just propagating that ain't even real.
Right.
Man, get your mind yoked to Jesus Christ and see the big picture and what's really going on. That they should seek the Lord. He says, seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for you, we are also his offspring. We are God's offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to not think that the Godhead, letting you know the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost make up the Godhead. So oneness Pentecostalism is a oneness lie. It's a Godhead, a governing body made up of three individuals. It's like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. As the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to do what?
Repent.
The word wink means he closed his eyes. He didn't just blink. He winked and closed his eyes to your ignorance. But now he says, I reveal myself to you. Now repent and turn away from all your idolatry. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, referring to Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. That's our assurance. He's the firstborn back from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men cleaved unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So he says, man, everybody talking and mocking and cutting the fool, but two folk were for real. I believe what the man said, and I'm changing. I'm repenting. You got to repent for you. You better stop looking around. You better stop being a collective thinker that's part of the herd. You better stop thinking about your dogs and your running buddies and your partners and your divas. And you better get in this thing for you. The worst person you'll ever meet is a person that's trying to come somewhere with their friend. Or with their husband or their wife or their running buddy. You better become a rugged individualist this time and say, you know what? The Titanic is going under. I don't know about y'all, but I got myself a deck chair. Well, I don't have one. I sure feel for you. I feel bad about you. I sure do. But I got myself a life vest. I got my room. When they made that alarm, I grabbed my life vest first. I didn't get mine. I sure feel bad for you because I can't shadow. It didn't fit one person. Could I just hold it? No, you'd be too heavy because it just float one person. I thought you were my best friend. I am. But, you know, it's life or death now. I'm sorry for you. That's how the end of the world going to be. You think I'm kidding. You ever seen one of them old Japanese movies when Godzilla come over the hill? And you thought you had a husband? That joker beat you running. All you saw was his feet smoking in your face. Because now the thing is real. Now, he's like, hey, baby, how you smoke? And the joker. Left his wife, kids, everybody running for life. When you're running for your life, you don't even think about looking back. You don't hear no screams. You don't know about a cry for help. Because this thing is going down now, man. And you can't see this train coming down the track. I don't know what to tell you. You have to be a defender of the faith. You got to stand in faithfulness to Jesus Christ for you. To defend the faith is to defend the fact that I'm with Jesus against everything else that's trying to draw me away from him. This world is my enemy. Everybody in it is my enemy. If they're a friend of the world, If they say anything trying to draw me away from Jesus Christ, I can't. Hey, I don't have time for you, man. I got one lifeboat, one life vest. I got one deck chair for me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm not getting it blotted out for anybody. Defenders of the faith, we're at war against a system that's against everybody. Our job is to go into the highways and hedges now and compel them that will hear it. You got to be another breed of person now. This thing got to be about you and the Lord now. You can't be in this thing with anybody. You got to be in this thing with the Lord for yourself. It's not selfishness. It's not pride. It's not ego. But you don't answer to them. You don't answer to me. When you stand before that judgment seat, he's going to ask you about what you did in your mortal body alone. Spotlight on you. I believe there'll be total darkness around you. Spotlight on you. And you're looking into those eyes that can pierce through you. You can't lie to them. An individual that reads your thoughts. The Bible says Jesus looked at people knowing their thoughts. I don't even want to fool around with nobody like that. What I want to be is expunged from everything that's evil now. So when I stand before him, I got no self-consciousness and just wondering, I sure hope I make it. Doggone that lie right before I died. I told that lie. Hope he overlooked that lie. I took that money too. Doggone it. I looked on that woman's body to lust after. Doggone, he said that was adultery. If you look on a woman to lust after, that's adultery. I hope you'll remember that. Price! Next! Step. Price? Yes, sir. Were you looking at that woman? Let's see. A woman. A woman. Let's see here. How you spell that? It's crazy. Now you're gonna be acting crazy. See that? You're not gonna be. Now you think you're gonna change character when you stand? You ain't gonna change character. You're gonna be the same person. Something up there cutting the food now, looking like a fool. Could you repeat that question? Like you didn't understand what he said or something? Just crazy. But when you got the slate clear, you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You just say. Just report in. So, you know, I haven't done a thing. I'm straight. If y'all can find something on me or something I don't know about now. If it's something I did, it might have been a little fox or something here or there. But overall, you know, I think I'm pretty clear. I might have a few things I don't know about. I wasn't consciously aware of. Okay, we can respond to those things. I can work on that on the other side of the track. When I get there, I can get that, you know, worked out or whatever. But I have a record pretty clear, I believe. I'm just going to hit on in and y'all let me know. I'll deal with all that later. I'll just hit on in and y'all let me know what. Be out walking on here. Has a little pimp walking up. Hoping anybody going to say that to you, no sliding on it. No, man, whoa. Come back here, Mike. What you doing? Come back here. But see, people gonna go to acting crazy. As the world begins to end, you watch them start running around acting crazy. They're gonna be scurrying around like rats on a sinking ship. And there'll be nothing around. That young man made another video. He said, you know what? Repentance is not important. And to repent it is wrong. And you can't repent. If you come to God and want to repent, he don't want you. You got to come where the Lord wants you. Not when you want him, because when you want him, he might not want you. That's not in the Bible. Esau, though he sought repentance with tears, couldn't repent because God had it withdrawn repentance from him. You should have come when I wanted you, because now you want me and I don't want you. It's going to be a deadly game played down here. That's why you got to get this thing straight now. Yes. Now is the acceptable day of what?
Salvation.
Your salvation. If you would, stand to your feet, please. Everybody want to play. Play with your dog Spot. Play with your kid Muffin. But don't play with the Lord. Because the Lord He said, don't fear the folk that can kill your body. Fear him who, after killing your body, can cast your soul into hell. You fear him. You better fear the right person. Godly fear is right, but you better fear the right person. Everybody laughing. They're going to go to hell laughing. They're going to go to hell listening to the Stephen Colbert and all these folk, that Kimmel guy at night, and listen to jokes and all these comedians, Cedric the Entertainer. They're going to laugh themselves right into the pit. Everything going to be funny. They're going to be mocking. They're going to be making light of everything and end up damned. You got relatives that died damned right now. They're in hell tonight. Some of your mothers and fathers in hell right now. They went to hell. I don't say that with some kind of smirk on my face or making light of it. It's a fact because they didn't repent. They went to church fornicating. Your grandmama shacked up for years and died shacking up with that old man and went to hell. Going to church as a church mother every day, every Sunday, shacking up with the old deacon in the church and went to hell. Sitting in church with that big hat on, playing church. This ain't nothing to play with, man. Mother Teresa dies grasping a cross, a crucifix, or rosary beads, saying a Hail Mary, playing a Mary. You don't make it in because you're an idolater. No idolater enters in, he says. It don't downgrade for nobody. You got to make your calling and election sure. That means secure. You got to make sure you're in. You need to be afraid of this. I'm serious. It's room for godly fear. You got to be reverentially afraid of God because of what he can do to us. Man, I don't know. I don't know no harder to tell it, no louder to preach it. I don't know no other words to use. My vocabulary is not extensive enough to try to describe this. This is real. And you're looking at people in real time, laughing in your face about it, taking it lightly, having joined themselves to all these worldly systems that are actually cursing their souls and won't repent and laughing about it. They're going to laugh their way right into the pit of hell forever. I mean, imagine the day after you die and you're still alive. Your consciousness is still there. You're going to receive a resurrection body. Remember, the first resurrection is of those that are alive to God. Then there's a second resurrection of the sinners. Everybody's coming back from the dead. I don't care if you got cremated. Those ashes going to reformulate back into a body again. You're going to get another body. And you're going to stand before the judgment in a spirit body. Remember, it's a earthly body. The Bible calls it a terrestrial body. And there's a celestial body. You're going to be in a body. You're not just going to be a spirit floating around. You're going to be a spirit embodied in another kind of body. And you got an answer for everything done in the temporal physical body on earth. This is real. This is more real than here. This is a matrix. This is pseudo reality. This is virtual reality. It's not real. The stuff you hear on the news is not real. The stuff you see in the movies is not real. The stuff you see around you is not real. Social systems and governmental systems are not real. You know I can prove that? Your daddy, your granddaddy, your great-granddaddy paid Social Security their whole life. They died. Okay, give the money to you. Okay, he put the money away, right, for himself. As part of his money and his inheritance, you should give the Social Security money to you, his offspring. If it's real, guess what?
It ain't real.
They took your money so they could fly around in Lear jets and live high on the hog and pay for the whores up in the Washington penthouses they're running. That's what they did with the money. They took your money to live off of. Because if your parent died, if they were given into a system, then every person that's in that household, the children, should inherit their daddy's money they put away. You get an IRA, it don't go away. You get a 401k, it don't go away. You get a 403b, it don't go away. How come the Social Security money just evaporates into nothingness? Because they already figured if you get Social Security at 65, you'll be dead before you get it. Let's say you get to 65 and live for 5 or 10 years. You're not going to get back everything you put in it. So they took what? An informed, gamble that you would not live to get the money back you put in it. Ain't none of this stuff real. It's a big, huge Ponzi scheme. It's nothing but extortion, robbery, and what Trump called the swamp that he can't drain. Why? Because the Republicans are part of the swamp too. Mm-hmm. He's finding it out right now. It ain't a Democratic swamp, Trump. It's a universal Trump run by a master of magic. A cherubim angel sits on top of the pyramid. Your dollar bill lets you know who runs the world. On the back of that dollar bill, you're going to find that pyramid. The same pyramid that governs the Masons and the Eastern Stars, all sororities and fraternities governed by that pyramid. The third eye is open. The eye of Horus is the eye of Satan. The whole pyramid is the rest of the world. He lets you know I'm watching you. When your third eye opens, you know when you have a third eye opened in you, you see them walking, you see them running down the basketball court after they make a shot. Third eye open. Know what that means? That you're an androgen. You have no gender. You're androgen. Your third eye is open. You became androgynous. You're neither male nor female. That's the highest level of Hinduism and Buddhism you can reach. My third eye is open. The chakras have been opened up to my third eye opened up. Now, I'm no longer a human. I'm androgynous. I'm a star child. I'm a child of the universe. I have been absorbed into God as God. And God has no gender. I'm a spirit while walking the earth in the flesh. That's what it's all about. They're deeper than you. They're wiser than you. It's on the back of your dollar bill. The devil's hiding in plain sight. And they are showing what they are in plain sight. Nouveau order seclorum, he says. Know what that means? New secular order, new world order. On top of the pyramid, Anuit Coptis. One out of many. A new world order made of diverse languages. You saw what he said in the Bible, right? Every tongue, every language, every nation will fall after the beast. He's going to be a universal beast that governs everybody the same. You better run for your life. The Titanic has hit the iceberg. It's taking in thousands of gallons of water per minute. You better run for your life. You better leave out of here, get yourself a Bible, and make up for the time you wasted not reading it. You can cover the Bible in less than 6 months if you're for real. You've got to get in this Bible and find out not what it means and what it says, but you got to know the person that wrote it. Let the Bible be a conduit to get to know him. I take time on Sunday to say what I say. I don't worry about time. Because these messages are designed to last the whole week. We put them on the internet to be broken down and segmented for people to feed off of it for 7 days back to Sunday again. You need to constantly drink. Constantly get your mind. 50-minute Vignette of this message. Going to work in your car, you can drink down a little bit every day. Coming back home, you drink it down a little bit. That's 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day you can drink just driving down the street. Because until we can get this tabernacle open, where it's open all the time, we take time on Sunday to preach a message like this. It's 168 hours in a week. 4 or 5 hours on Sunday, man. That leaves you with 163 hours without God in the world. And you take 4 or 5 hours to actually engage your mind to listen to what God is talking about. And for you long-winded, you crazy. You got your whole life bathing on the world. And you don't let God wash that trash off for a little bit. I mean, what fraction of a percentage is that out of 168 hour week? Amen. That's insane. People say the stupidest things, man. And their minds are bathed with this hell all the time. And they won't shut it down for just a few hours. God, look, help my mind. My mind is inundated with too much stuff. God, bring back my sanity. Recondition my thinking. Transform my mind. I need to stay engaged. I can't afford to be distracted. All you got to do is check your resume, and your resume will show you how crazy you are and were. Your resume will tell you the stupid, crazy things you did speak louder than what I'm saying. Your resume is a witness against you. Every dumb, stupid, ignorant, ill-formed, malformed, uninformed thing you did in life is a witness against you. And the fact that you need Jesus Christ to bring sanity back to your mind. It's real. we are defenders of the faith. We will stand and fight this warfare no matter what anybody says about it. Not trying to bind you to personality, but to set you free to know God for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and make them alive to everyone that hears them throughout the week. God, it's time to raise up a different breed of person that will see this thing for themselves. No longer part of the herd. No longer trying to follow anybody. But hey, it's my thing this time. It's apparent that everybody won't do it. Everybody's not going to heaven. The Bible plainly says that everybody's not going to heaven. The Bible says there are few that find it. It's a narrow way. That's what the Bible tells us. That means the chances of me being saved are slim to none. So I got to take it seriously for myself. I got to narrow my mind down to, hey, I got to do what I got to do. This thing got to be personal, God. It's got to be down in your soul. I can't afford to depend on somebody else. Not in this. When the ship is sinking, I can't depend on somebody else's flotation device. I better have my own. Lord, reformat us that we can understand the depths of this thing. That Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. The Bible says there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I'm not here to answer to another person about what you tell me to do. I'm here to obey and do what I am told to do. It's time, God, to take on personal responsibility and personal accountability to make it in as you end this world. They are now putting in place the structures to end the world. Volcanoes are erupting. Hurricanes are just blowing away islands and the Keys, flooding Houston. Fires are burning up the whole West Coast. Wars and rumors of wars are everywhere, with a madman in North Korea saying, I'll destroy everything in sight. I'll blow up everybody with a hydrogen bomb. More troops headed to Afghanistan. Lives being destroyed. 55,000 guys died in Vietnam for nothing. Millions died in World War II. This is a world gone mad for centuries now, eons, decades. And we're looking at it, just walking around in it, like nothing is real. It's somebody being killed right now as I'm standing here. Somebody raped, somebody murdered. Young man murdered a lady over in Georgia the other day and burned her body out in the field and got his friend to help burn her up. These people are crazy. This is insanity. It's lunatic friend stuff now. God, we got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. We got to have a focused mind, a discipline. We got to be different kind of people. We got to get some different kinds of people down here now who say, for Christ I live and for Christ I will lay down and die. I'm focused on the mission. It's personal. It's personal. It's different when it's a personal relationship with the Lord yourself. It's not about anybody. It's personal now. It's between me and the Lord now. I do what I do not because I'm trying to do anything for people. I'm here to serve the Lord and to be at his beck and call. So that, hey, when I come before him, I don't have anything on my record. It's been expunged. The blood took it away. I spoke for you. I stood for you. I did not neglect the call. I stayed faithful to the end. The apostle said, I finished my course. I fought the fight. Wherefore, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I know I'm in because I did what I had to do, man. I was shipwrecked. I was snake bitten. I was almost stoned to death. I was beaten all the time over this thing with 39 stripes, save one. I've been persecuted. I've been burned. I've been ostracized. I know I fought this fight. I know I was in it. When nobody else went, I went. When nobody else spoke, I spoke. When somebody had to go to jail, I went to jail. I was chained up in jail. Yeah. I didn't look for a surrogate. I didn't look for the escape clause. I made sure I was on the front line. And if there was a price to be paid, I paid it because I want eternal life more than this life down here. I want to make it sure that I make it in. I didn't draw back. Anytime you called upon me to step up to the plate and represent you, I stepped up. You want to know that you know that when God needed somebody, he had you at his disposal. This thing is real. God, in Jesus' name, save everybody that wants to be saved. I know that people that search for truth, you give them the truth. Folks that really want to be saved, you save them. Folks that really want Jesus, you go get them. I know that about you. I know that you will not turn a deaf ear to anyone's cry for salvation. If folk want to be saved, you go out of your way. The Bible says you leave 99 sheep to go get one wayward sheep. When you got a desire to be saved, God will save your soul. The Bible says it's not his will that anybody should perish, but everybody should come to repentance and eternal life. Not looking to damn anybody. Looking to save everybody. He's going to seek and to search for those that want to be saved. That's the heart of God right there. In Jesus. Right now, anybody not saved, you know you're not saved. Nobody knows you're damned better than you. If you know you stand before that throne and you're damned to hell because you never sold out to him, that's resting on you right now. It's not going to go anywhere. It's on you because it's factual. Nobody knows you're lost like you. The inner man will bear witness that, hey, I don't have eternal life. And I know about, if you say to yourself, I don't know where I go, you're damned. Because everybody that's saved, they know they're saved. You can't leave here hoping and guessing and wishing. You got to know. You got to know. Jesus Christ is alive. I've actually seen him myself 2 times. He's visited me. He's alive and well. This ain't no make-believe caricature of a person. This is a real person. He can come see you. He's for real. But you got to be willing to forsake everything. You got to be willing to cross over to where he is. Not the burning sand. Not joining this junk down here. You got to sell out to him. At the expense of everything else. This thing is real. If you're not saved, we'll pray for you now to receive the Lord as your personal savior. It ain't about joining nothing. You got to get your record cleared to start out the process of transformation. Conception and beginning the process is a journey in life. But the first step is to repent of everything and say, Lord, you know what? I'm giving you my body. Do with me as you will. I've had control of it long enough. You can have me. I want to be saved. That's the first step in the process. Anybody here not saved, come forward now. We'll pray for you. That's where everybody begins. I made the step and everybody else has to make that step. It ain't about nobody here. Forget them. You're running for your life. Your life. And like I said, nobody knows you're lost better than you. It ain't religion. It ain't denomination. It ain't no memberships in this. Either you know him or you don't. Anybody knowing you're not born again and you're not saved. We always made the offer. Because I got to get blood off my hands. I can tell the Lord with assurance, I told him. I made the offer. I'm cleared. Correct, Lord? Correct. I told him. I made the offer. I'm cleared. Because the Bible says if you don't warn them and tell them, you got blood on your hands. I got to preach blood off my hands. If I'm called to this, I got to preach this blood off my hands. I'm born with blood on my hands. And I got to wash my hands of this blood. That's dead. I'm dead serious. Anybody. By way of the internet, if you're not saved. Live stream, if you're not saved. Stand where you are in your home, in your den. I don't care. Your bedroom. Stand up and pray this prayer with me. Get your soul right with God before you leave here. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. God, I'm asking you right now in a real way to come into my life, expunge all sins from me as I repent of my sin. Against you and you only have I sinned. And I took your body, my body's for the Lord and you are for my body, and I used it for my own sinful purposes. I acknowledge it, I repent of it, and return your property to you. I'm giving you back this body. You purchased it on Calvary 2,000 years ago. It's a purchased possession. and I'm returning this body that I stole from you to use for me. And I'm asking you, God, within the confines of my soul, to cleanse and renovate me so I can be made acceptable in your sight. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and set my soul free from the demonic bondage that took control of me. Right now, God, according to your word, I'm saved. I'm justified. I've been made over as a new creature in Christ, and I'm ready for the journey. Perfect those things that concern me and move me, God, to the level that you have ordained for me from the foundation of the world. I want to be your child. I want to be free. I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. I want to die in peace, knowing I've been born again and I am saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So to wrap it up for today, it's getting more real every day. It's not something to play with. And you got to stay focused now, because the war is about to intensify. If you've been in it any length of time, you've seen it change. And it's getting deeper. It's getting deeper. Remember, Omega Ministries supported. Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support and donate. Remember the Man Up meeting in December. Remember prayer every night, 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Remember to keep everybody in prayer. Everybody needs prayer because it's a fight. Yes. People are going through things that are traumatic, all kinds of mental problems, all kinds of stuff in their families, kids going crazy. It's going to be a fight to the finish. So you got to be committed to it. Stay away from all the crazy people. Stay away from everybody that's detrimental to you. And for God's sake, whatever you do, stay out of the devil's lunatic matrix. We'll see you back here next week. Have a good week and be blessed.